Welcome to Ask AI, the podcast that brings you insightful interviews and news from the world of Canadian artificial intelligence. This episode is sponsored by Microsoft Canada. Go to microsoft.com/AI and check out their free AI business school to start building intelligence into your solutions today. We're also sponsored by Cinci, the global leader in data fabric technology. Visit Cinci.com to learn how to eliminate integration and turbocharge your AI transformation.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today on this Ask AI team check-in. Today, we have David McLaren, founder and CEO of Media Valet. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Carolyn. It's great to be here.
Wonderful. So, David, I'd love to know a bit more about Media Valet and specifically about the term DAM. What is a DAM? I saw that Media Valet is a DAM, and I'm just not familiar with that term. Can you please tell me more about it?
Well, I have to say, first off, that we have a lot of fun with the acronym. So we're DAM fine software, some things like that. We're a DAM great team. So what is a DAM? DAM stands for Digital Asset Management. So we're a digital asset management system. So you might ask, what does a DAM do? A digital asset management system, or DAM, helps companies, usually companies with lots of media assets, manage all those assets. So a media asset, then what is that? So photos, videos, animations, graphics, as well as 2D and 3D, like engineering files, CAD files, audio files, all those types of things. So very similar to us as consumers and individuals, how we take a lot of photos and videos in our day-to-day lives nowadays, especially with our new smartphones that have great cameras. We create a lot of media assets ourselves and need help managing those thousands of assets. Companies are no different. Whether they're profit or nonprofit, they're producing media assets at a rapid rate nowadays, and all those assets need to be managed. So we help aggregate them into a central library, organize them, secure them, make them accessible to all the parties that need access to them, and then make the individual assets discoverable using artificial intelligence.
Wonderful. And I'd love to go into the classes of AI that are in here. I'm assuming there's going to be probably some natural language processing, perhaps you could dive into what type of AI you're dealing with when you're undertaking these DAMs.
Definitely. Now, remember, we've got still assets and moving assets. So, and I would consider audio moving as well, and then just still like graphics and photos. So we're identifying objects, so common objects within assets, any text, so print that you'd see, any logos, things like that, objects, print, etc. And then audio, facial recognition. So whether we're looking at a video or a photo or a graphic. So graphics would be more like character recognition. So that could be like a minion or a character like that, or sketch or something, or it could just be a specific graphic or logo that we're recognizing in assets. Again, moving or static assets. So some of the really fun things that we do for like some of the large sports franchises is recognize numbers on jerseys, or names and numbers on jerseys, to help identify athletes in both still images and video clips.
Great. So I heard some NLP, some computer vision, some OCR, video processing, audio processing, probably some speech.
I didn't know how technical you wanted me to get, so I tried to.
I don't know. I'm just summarizing. Okay. Wonderful. Cool. Now let's perhaps get into specifically the most recent article that I read about preserving Dr. Jane Goodall's legacy. Could you talk more about this project, who was involved, and the role of it?
Sure. Well, let me start from the beginning. Sure. A couple of years ago, the Jane Goodall Institute started looking for ways to digitize all of Jane's research and her research team's research and that, and then aggregate it into a library or something. They were thinking of just a way of digitizing and aggregating it just to protect her legacy. And in doing that, they're a big Microsoft customer, so they reached out to Microsoft to see if Microsoft could help them. We've been a Microsoft partner as a DAM since early 2010 when Microsoft Azure was first being launched, their cloud platform. Microsoft suggested they reach out to us, did an introduction. And in that very first conversation, things like aggregating, that's easy, protecting, making it redundant, all those things are really easy for us into the petabytes of assets in the cloud. But what was really interesting was the type of data that they wanted to protect in the cloud and make it accessible. So this research included research on chimpanzees, a lot of camera trap footage and handheld video footage, and then photos, as well as sketches and a lot of handwritten notes.
Nice.
So basically AI type things I was talking about before, you can see the pieces fitting together pretty quick using OCR, right? Mm-hmm. We're able to recognize stock pretty quickly. So close to 600,000 handwritten notes in Swahili.
Oh, wow.
Hey, that provides a really cool challenge. First, recognizing all the characters themselves, recognizing they're in Swahili, making that searchable in Swahili, but then making it searchable in English and German and French and Italian into over 100 languages. So that became really fun because just those written notes themselves, we could make way more accessible and discoverable. And not just the notes are important, but it's the information, the research that's in them. But then we did that for photos, for like maps and that were sketched and created over time. But then we got into the really fun stuff, which was the camera trap footage and handheld footage, because we were able to do facial recognition for all the scientists and Jane herself throughout.
Wow.
Then we took it a step further and thought, let's apply this facial recognition to the chimpanzees themselves.
I was just going to ask that question to see if that's possible, because I knew it was possible in our pets. I've seen that. Yeah. So I was wondering if that, I was hoping you were going to say that. Cool.
It was. And I remember talking in that very first conversation we had kind of booked like about an hour to talk, and it ended up being like a 2-3 hour conversation because we just started brainstorming in the way that we could use the cloud as well as AI to really aggregate all of that material into one library to make it accessible. Mm-hmm. But then how could we make it discoverable to JGI itself, the Jane Goodall Institute itself and their researchers? But then what about researchers outside of Jane Goodall? Mm-hmm. And then what about all future generations? So not just researchers and scientists, but students and scholars.
Yeah.
And that's when we started getting into, that was the benefit of the cloud. And then AI added a whole new layer. And I do remember when we started talking about facial recognition on chimpanzees, because it was, I remember asking the question, what about, and it was a bit of a, it was like, they had tried it over the years with a few other teams, but hadn't really got that far. Thankfully, a few years later, with where AI is today, we started this project, the AI component, last year.
Right.
The facial recognition on chimpanzees. And since then, it's just amazing where the technology is at today and the results that we're getting.
And I'm so curious to know, what were, generally speaking, the results on facial recognition on individual chimps?
So when we started, it's really interesting the similarities between chimpanzees and humans.
Nice.
Our faces are all very unique. So as we've seen the advances in facial recognition with human beings, we've now been able to take those advancements and apply them to chimpanzee facial recognition. And it's working extremely well.
Cool.
Now, for the people that don't know how AI works, is we create models. And we have to teach the computer or AI what something is. And the most famous one when we started, not us, in all of AI, was cats. Trying to teach a computer what a cat was. So with chimpanzees, it's exactly the same. We've just learned a lot since those first days of cats. So now though, in building those models, we are very able to quickly build simple models. So if it's face on, this, then it's easy. This starts to get harder.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So especially something like this, knowing that that's a specific chimpanzee, or when it's smaller, like far away, It becomes much harder to tell. So all we do is continually train the model. Mm-hmm. And as we're doing that, it gets better and better and better. So as we see right now, I've got an iPhone and it's constantly asking me, is this my daughter? Or is this my friend? Or is this my mom or dad? And you have to confirm, yes, this is that person. It's exactly the same thing with training for an AI model for recognizing faces of chimpanzees. Mm-hmm. So it's an ongoing process over time and it keeps getting better and better and better. And it learns itself over time.
Absolutely. And I'm curious to know about the Swahili handwritten detection task. Were there any challenges here? And maybe, is Swahili a low resource language, as they say in the NLP world, where it might not be as represented as the English language, for example? Is that the case? Or was there enough data to really get some good results there?
It's a great question. And English is obviously one of the dominant languages that gets a lot of attention. But Swahili has had enough attention, and Microsoft has done a tremendous job with over 100 languages today, and Swahili is one of those. So it was the first time we had done it, specifically focused on Swahili, because majority of those notes are in that language, and it worked tremendously well. And I remember, it was a sigh, and it, all at the same time, like a sigh, but also a, wow, this is great all at the same time. Because we had never done it. So we put a sample set in, pushed go, and it worked. So thank you, Microsoft, for making that extremely easy. And I do have to say, Microsoft is doing a tremendous job in this area and is a great partner for us. And it helps us bring stuff like this to market very quickly and very effectively.
Nice. Is there any specific team at Microsoft you'd like to shout out if you want? I'm curious, is it the Montreal AI language team that you're working with, or is there another team somewhere else?
It's a wide variety of AI teams.
Okay.
All around the world, because every project's a little different. So when we're dealing with a German customer, or this case, the JGI in the US specifically, we'll be dealing with different teams around the world. Now, we are ourselves based in Vancouver, Canada.
Yes.
So we talk to a lot of the Canadian teams as well, but these individual projects pull us around the world to interact with different Microsoft teams. And with tens of thousands of employees, we end up talking to a lot of different teams around the world. But I do a call out to the entire Microsoft Canada cloud team, everyone related. I've now been working with them and my team here at MediaValet for over 12 years. And since the very beginning, it's been an amazing experience, how excited they've been about the cloud and then AI, and just how much they've helped us achieve everything we've achieved to date.
That's great. Cool. Now taking a step back a bit more about the market in general, is there anything that you're really excited about? Any opportunities that you're looking forward to kind of getting into?
It's another really good question, Karen. In that Jane Goodall, when they came to us, really opened our eyes into this large amount of data or knowledge that's being created by humanity, but not overly accessible.
Right.
And by that, I mean, there were 8 terabytes of video assets for Jane Goodall that were in one of the researchers' basements. As we started the project, they were on a call and went, ooh, wait a minute. I think I have some stuff in my basement. Thinking I have some stuff wasn't a box with a couple rolls in it. It was 8 terabytes of handheld video.
Wow.
In physical format, no one had access to it but that person.
It could have been
that
lost.
That now is digitized, it's transcribed, it's tagged, and it's discoverable and accessible in MediaValet for all researchers.
That's wonderful.
If we take that and apply that to nonprofits, researchers all over the world, there's an amazing amount of knowledge that is just not accessible today. I remember I was in Edmonton at one point, meeting with an individual that had a warehouse full of video assets from human history, going back as far as video was created, because he was a collector. Mm-hmm. No one else had access to it. It was all in physical format.
Wow.
That archive is being digitized and now being made accessible. So what I'm really excited about is helping to uncover and aggregate human knowledge that's mm-hmm. currently inaccessible, and then making it accessible and discoverable for future generations. Now, that's a much bigger vision than MediaValet. MediaValet today is very much helping the JGIs of the world and other profit organizations manage their marketing material, educational material, engineering material. Mm-hmm. But for me, there's this, we can do more, not very just for our customers, but for humanity. I know that sounds really big, but you ask what's exciting me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dream big. We always have to dream big. And so in the coming months, if we're keeping an eye on what's happening with MediaValet on social media or LinkedIn, what can we expect to see coming in the near future?
Oh, just lots more announcements with JGIs of the world, sports and entertainment, commercial, educational. So we work with a very broad group of organizations all over the world, profit, nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And then within that, every single imaginable classification. So in nonprofit, wide range, then there's educational. And when you truly get into profit, for-profit organizations, pretty well every industry in the world and almost pretty well every country of the world, we have customers.
Cool. Awesome. Well, looking forward to following you guys. And thank you so much for joining us on this Ask AI Team check-in. We'll see everyone next time.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Carolyn. Thank you very much.
This has been a production of Ask AI, a nonprofit dedicated to advancing awareness and understanding of Canada's world-class artificial intelligence sector. Your host was Carolyn Pelletier. Series producer was Chris McClellan. And the series editor was James Fajardo. We'd like to thank our series sponsors, Microsoft Canada, producers of the Free AI Business School, and Cinchi, the dataware platform that makes integration obsolete. We'd love to hear about your latest research, product launches, or organizational news. To request a team check-in, visit askai.org.